Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Oh. It's me, Ben.
And it's me, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Ben. What are we doing here? This is the podcast feed. What's going on?
This is the podcast feed, so we've got those wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, and we recently put out a little poll asking them what they thought of the idea of us putting the audio of our Quipscope episodes on the podcast feed in addition to the actual podcast. Now, Peter, what is Quipscope?
Quipscope is the show where we talk about a brand new game or a game that's coming out that we've been lucky enough to receive early.
And we
give our opinions, and then we finish with a little quip. So we have a quick scope and then a little quip at the end.
It's very clever. The title is very clever. Mm-hmm. Now, most of you will probably be familiar with it. Obviously, the best place to experience this format is on the YouTube channel because there's gameplay footage as well, so you can properly get an understanding of what it is we're talking about. However, just as a little additional treat, we've decided to include the Quipscopes here on the podcast feed after feedback from that poll. Now, we are open to feedback. If you hate this, let us know and we will listen to you. But first up, Peter, we're going to be talking about a game that's that a lot of people are pretty excited about, aren't they?
Oh, she's coming for you, Lady D. incidentally, let me just say, the confusion as to how to pronounce her name is even harder now. There was Dimitrice that they said in the little showcase. Pretty sure he said Dimitress, Ethan, in the game.
God.
So I don't know what to think anymore. But anyway,
Lady D is the safest way to go. Anyway, enjoy the Quipscope. Do watch it on the YouTube channel if you want to see gameplay footage too. And if you hate this, let us know. All right. Yeah. See you later.
Right. Bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Quipscope. It's the show where we talk about a game that's just come out or is coming out. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Peter, you have been playing Resident Evil 8 Village, Resident Evil Vill 8.
Resident Evil VIII, I think.
What is it called? What is it called, though?
Resident Evil Village is the actual proper name for it, I think, officially.
Right.
Yes, I have. In answer to your question or statement, I've been playing that game and I'm very much enjoying it. It's nice to have an actual next-gen game for my next-gen console. It's been a little while since I've had one of those.
Yeah.
Or it's felt like, you know, rather than playing something that's also available on last-gen. So, yeah, it's been good.
Excellent. And we've just finished playing through Resi 7.
Yeah,
on a series of live streams. Obviously, that was starring new Resident Evil protagonist, Ethan. Ethan, I understand, is in store for some more nasty times.
Yes.
What is the basic premise of Resident Evil Village? What is Ethan up to this time?
Well, the footage on screen may well begin with the sort of intro to the game, but I am going to skirt around verbally and visually with a handy-dandy cut/fade. A couple of maybe little things that happen in the intro, because I was surprised. In the sort of prologue, there's a couple of revelations and moments that I'm like, oh, okay. But to give you the headlines, Ethan and Mia, the partner who canonically was saved in the previous game, are now together in a house. I believe they're married, but they've certainly got a baby. And things happen in the intro that leads to Ethan finding himself out in the woods somewhere, and he knows that the baby is missing, it's been taken, and he seeks to go and find the baby, get it back. Baby's called Rose, and he stumbles through the darkness and the snow and ends up in a very spooky village beneath a very spooky castle. Perfect Resident Evil fare, really.
Absolutely.
So that's it. That's the kind of overall premise, really. He's out there trying to find his baby. I've played three or four hours. So I'm sure there'll be some further twists and turns. But for now, that's your main objective. But of course, when he arrives in said village and castle, it's not going to be a smooth ride for him. Let me point out immediately that Ethan, I don't even know if there was an in-universe reason for this in Resi 7, but certainly in Resi 8. How can that man take such a beating and still just carry on going? It's kind of silly. So,
right,
he got his hand chopped off in Resi 7, and then immediately it was stapled back on again, and it was fine. And there was never really a direct explanation as to how that worked. I had a sort of theory or headcanon that maybe something to do with, you know, all the moldy stuff that was going on there, perhaps that allowed the hand to graft back on. I mean, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but everyone else in that house was seemingly immortal, so why wasn't he? But surely that's now not the case. And oh my god, they love to just chop off bits of Ethan and really horribly maim him, almost pointlessly. Like, there are several moments. There was a bit where, when I finally entered the castle after exploring the village for a while, you very soon encounter some of the residents in there. Resident Evil, you might say. And they decided to hang Ethan up on a wall by placing meat hooks through each of his hands. Okay.
Oh, God.
And then they suspended him up in the sky, and then they left the room and said, you know, we'll come back for you later and we're going to kill you or whatever. And immediately, Ethan ripped his hands out of the meat hooks. He didn't try and shimmy them off the hooks. He pulled downwards so that the hooks went through his hands, and then he got down on the floor, poured some juice on it, and that was it. And so there was no story reason. They could have just had him tied up to a chair. But no, right. Capcom said, what we're going to do is wreck his hands even more. Yes, exactly. And, you know, we're 5 minutes into the Quipscope, and all I've really done is given you a one-line premise and complained about Ethan's hands.
Well,
but
this does prompt a follow-up question.
Right.
Because something that did jump out at me when we were playing through Resi 7 was, this man, like, feels really out of place, not only from a story perspective, you know, obviously he's not meant to be there, he's mild-mannered, absolute nobody, Ethan such and such.
Yeah.
Ethan Winters, is that his name?
Winters, yeah.
But, like, he would go through the most horrific stuff, and then he would just one-line quip.
Yeah.
And it would feel so weird, you know, from a narrative perspective. Like, who is this guy that he can withstand such physical torment and then just shrug it off and quit?
Stay dead this time.
Burns a giant bug woman, you know?
Yeah.
And that was obviously juxtaposed by the fact that Resi 7 was far scarier than a lot of previous Resi games had been for a long time.
Mm.
How is that leap from Resi 7 to Resi 8 made? Does the horror stay on a similar level? And how does Ethan adapt now?
A couple of things there that I want to address, actually. So, firstly, Ethan is, I would say he's maybe a little bit more vocal in terms of his monologue, which is good in a way because it actually makes him slightly more believable. Even though he's still perhaps a little bit blasé still, he seems a bit more human overall. And he does actually, I found, despair at like the situation that he's in. And he sort of goes like, why is this happening to me again? Why do people keep dying on me? Like, you meet like the occasional friendly NPC, and then invariably they get eaten by a monster, and he's going, oh god, this is awful. And at one point you watch someone, again, I don't want to be too spoilery here, but you watch someone fall from somewhere, and he you see them fall and die essentially, and he looks over the edge And he says, you know, oh, this is awful, all this stuff happening to me. And he says, I can't go on like this, or I can't, it's not worth going on. And just the fact that you're staring down this edge, I thought for a moment he was going to just, like, think about jumping and say, you know, because, I mean, as grim as it is, I sometimes, you know, I watch horror movies or play horror games and I think, I would just give up. I would not be pulling my hands out of me hooks. I'd be just jumping off that cliff, I think.
Just
I mean,
sobbing quietly.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't want to make light of a serious subject there, but it's a horrible situation to be in. So there are moments like that where he feels a bit more, yeah, slightly more believable, I would say. In terms of just generally speaking, how we've gone from horror to, you know, do we still have the same amount of horror? I think Capcom have actually said, sort of publicly in the kind of press releases for this game and stuff, that they have gone out of their way to actually make this game less scary than Resident Evil 7. And I would say it's probably slightly less scary, but it's just in a different way, I suppose. It's less sinister and, you know, haunting, harrowing. It's more gory. It's a bit more of a monster game, a monster movie style game than a really horrible, you're just in a dark house and you're going to be killed sort of thing. It's, I don't know, it's quite a nuanced difference in some ways. But I suppose maybe the best comparison is going from the first three Resident Evil games, which, despite being campy, were, you know, fairly, you would certainly describe them as horror games. And then when you went to Resident Evil 4, that was more of an action horror, and that's kind of what this game feels like. In fact, it feels like Resident Evil 4 in far more ways than I expected it to. So I think the moment this game was announced, everyone looked at that and thought, I mean, in the first few moments of the reveal trailer, I think there was probably a lot of people looked at that and thought, oh, is this going to be it? Is this Resi 4 remake? Is that what it is? I see a spooky village, I see a castle, this is going to be Resident Evil 4. It turned out not to be, but because of the setting, the village and the castle, the comparisons are obvious. However, I found that there's a lot more detail to it than that as well. This almost feels like a very deliberate spiritual successor, almost, to Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
There's the merchant, of course. That's kind of one thing that people remember a lot about Resident Evil 4. There's a merchant in this game who'll tune up your guns for you and things like that. But even down to when you enter an area, there'll be sometimes crows sitting perched somewhere, and if you shoot them, they will die and drop money, which is something that happened frequently in Resi 4. I walked into a church at one point, and there was a shiny thing way up on the wall, and I had to shoot it with my handgun to make it drop to the floor to pick it up. That didn't happen in Resi 7. It happened a lot in Resi 4.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even down to the fact that the merchant said to me at one point, I don't know if I just got lucky and it's a very rare bit of dialogue, or if it's just everyone has heard this already. Out of nowhere, he went, "What are you buying?" Something one of my friends used to say, or something.
Oh, the Resi 4 merchant had friends.
He had
what
friends.
A development.
Something an old friend of mine used to say, he says. So there are all kinds of little things that feel very, very intentionally Resident Evil 4, which is a good thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But even more than I expected. I thought it would just be, you're in a spooky village, there's a castle. Now, that's a bit like Resi 4, isn't it? But no, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would be remiss, Peter, if we went any further without talking about our lady and saviour, Big Lady D.
Yeah.
What is her deal? Have you encountered her much yet? Is she as big as she looks in her pictures online?
She's very big. She's definitely as big as you would hope her to be. And every moment you spend with her in a cutscene is the perfect mixture of nervous, you know, horror-related anxiety and sort of nervous schoolboy excitement of, oh, here she is. What's going to happen?
It's her. What's she going to say
this
time?
What's she going to say now? Will she look at me? Oh, I wonder if she'll acknowledge me here.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely lives up to her reputation. It's not been, I mean, that was always a danger, wasn't it? That maybe this game would have come out and we've placed this identity on her, and then maybe the game would not actually sort of play into that at all. This narrative that as fans we've built before a game has even come out. But yeah, she definitely lives up to that. I am debating whether to talk about to what extent... I think this is okay to say. It was a surprise to me, but I don't think they intentionally kept this as a surprise. I will say that Lady D seemingly is not the big boss of the game, whereas I thought that she probably would be.
Is there an even bigger lady?
Yeah, when I say big, I don't necessarily mean physically, but... And that's not some sort of big twist I'm revealing there. It happens relatively early in the game. It just becomes apparent that there are other boss-like characters. There's a bloke that you might have seen in the trailers and things who sort of he wears a hat and carries a hammer. And she's sort of on his level. There's a few people that are all on that kind of level. And then above them, there's you know, a sort of a puppet master or a, you know, a big boss. So that was interesting. And a bit of a surprise, but yeah, so that's worth keeping in mind. And I don't know how much of the game that Lady D will feature in, because it might be that she's, you know, these things are quite often separated into areas that you explore, and there's a boss at the end of the area, in the same way that Resident Evil 7 was. And, you know, perhaps she'll be boss of area number one, and then she'll be dead, and that'll be it in a quarter of the way through Act 1. That'd be sad, but we'll have to see how it goes.
Would, and you will. Yeah. So, in summary, can you tell me very briefly what the differences you would say are between Resi 7 and Resi 8? Because obviously those two, I'd say Resi 7 is the game, obviously, that it has the most in common with compared to any previous Resi game. And what it is that you, or how I suppose you would go about recommending this game to someone. Like, is it as the spooks have been toned down? Is it going to appeal to more people? Should more people be giving it a go if they didn't like Resi 7? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say that I like this game even more than Resi 7, which I did like. And that's not just because it's come out on the new generation of consoles. I think if they'd come out in the other way round, I personally would have liked you know, the Resident Evil Village over Biohazard, as it was called, I think, was the subtitle of Resi 7. For all kinds of reasons, really. I think the setting is interesting, although it's in some ways it's cliched. It's sort of folk horror. You know, we've all seen werewolf movies and vampire movies and stuff set in some creepy village somewhere. So it's not fresh necessarily as a setting, even within Resident Evil, but it's just nice to be in a world like that with the new technology that we've got. There's so many quality of life touches compared to Resident Evil 7, in that they have done the likes of marking areas as searched, so you know that you've cleared out a room, which I think is really nice. There's a fun bit of inventory Tetris to do with a much larger inventory. You know, in Resi 7, it was almost everything was a single square other than your weapons. It's got that amazing sound design where there are so many different ambient noises that you will always be hearing a new sound wherever you are that feels like it's because someone's coming, but it's not. It's actually just something looping in the background, you know. So it's kind of got it all, really.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend this game for sure. Whether you are a big Resi fan or only very casually a Resi fan, if you're a horror fan, or even if you're just looking for a game to play on your new console, like a new game that is living up to what we were sort of hoping for from the PS5's early days. You don't even have to know the backstory. It fills you in right at the start. So someone who's not even played Resi 7 or any Resident Evil game could jump straight in here, I think, and get a lot out of it. So, yeah, highly recommended.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to touch on in particular?
No, just look out for it on our joint Blaze It streams. Commencing, I guess, on Thursday, all being well, right? That's the plan.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
that'll be when we start playing through it. Well, fantastic. Resident Evil Village, more like Resident Evil Earlidge.
Yeah.
Because Ethan's, I mean, he's got like sepsis. He's got to have all sorts of horrible like infections after all the grievous bodily harm that's been dealt to him, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Resident Evil Village, more like Resident Evil Pillage, because you just head through that village and castle, just taking all the treasure and stuff.
Yeah, just take whatever you want.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sell it.
I've got nothing.
Flip and sell it.
I got nothing else to give.
Okay. That's fine. Well, thank you, everyone. Check that game out for sure.
We'll catch you next time.
Yes, we will.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.